Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Coverage of the SEC spring meetings at the Sandestin Hilton in Sandestin, Florida is presented by Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. And in part by Bet Saracen. Bet local in Arkansas with the only local sports book, Bet Saracen.
Our man on the scene, Trey Shapp, down in Destin, Florida. What's on the docket today for SEC spring meetings?
Well, what's up, Christian? The coaches and the ADs will meet together for the first time today in a meeting session, and they will discuss things that they would, proposals that they would like to see changed, if anything, some potential changes to the bylaws. Now, one thing that the ADs voted on yesterday, and this was league-wide, that the second-to-last playing date of the football regular season, so I think this year it's going to be around November 20th, 22nd, that those games must be, starting next season, 2027, conference versus conference games. So you won't have any of the Alabama's playing a Mercer and Auburn playing a Jacksonville State or a Valdosta State. You won't have any of those cupcakes anymore on that second to last weekend of the regular season. And as Greg Sankey said yesterday, he said we got rid of what some people called cupcake weekend. So that's I guess one of the main things that came out of yesterday.
So does that mean we're going to go to two non-conference games? What does it mean?
No, they'll play three non-conference games because you'll have nine SEC games, and that starts this year. Yeah. Next year, you'll still have nine conference games and three non-conference games.
So we're just moving the cupcake game earlier in the year.
Right. Okay. Right. They want it at some other time during the season, not the
Makes
second
sense.
To last weekend.
I mean, when Ohio State
of
and
the
Michigan
regular
play,
season.
We're playing Mercer.
Yeah. Yeah, Louisiana Monroe in Florida. I'm like, who? Nobody wants to watch that, including the people
exactly.
from Louisiana Monroe. So, right. Yeah. So that's good.
Trey, is that sort of the conference rationale, is like not wanting to see those type games late in the season, or is there something else behind that?
And there could be something else behind that, Trey. It's a good question. It could be something, you know, trying to booster the spotlight because, you know, the SEC had gotten a rap about playing those games that, well, you're playing a cupcake right before you have basically the Iron Bowl. Why don't you play a tough team before you have, you know, before you have to go play the Iron Bowl? You talk about this schedule being so tough week in, week out. Well, When you put a cupcake right before one of your big rivalry games, is it really that tough of a schedule?
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, Michigan used to try to have an easy game right before Ohio State. For years, they played Indiana. So how's that working out right now? You know, it's not
yeah.
looking too good.
Yeah. No, but that was a conference game, though, Pigskin.
Exactly.
I saw a lot of hubbub about the 24-team playoff, which that's a talking point.
Yeah.
This week, and we talked a lot about that yesterday. But I think Paul Feinbaum, who I am not, you know, I've
You're not a fan
known.
Necessarily.
I'm not a fan necessarily yeah, of Paul Feinbaum.
You don't want me to go get his autograph for you? That's what you're saying?
I do not. When he came in for the touchdown club, he was surprisingly good.
I liked him.
Yeah,
I thought he was really good. Yeah.
I do not like listening to him. I find him rather boring. That's just my
opinion.
That's
Akre has influenced you, obviously.
No,
Justin scratches his head. He's like, I don't get why this guy's so big.
It was before Akre's influence that I found him boring, because I would drive through the state of Tennessee, and this was before I had XM or whatever, and I would be trying to find the sports station on the dial, and it would be Paul Feinbaum, and I'm listening to Paul Feinbaum for 2 hours, and I'm like, This is just torture to someone like me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear this.
It's not exactly a Mensa meeting with some of his callers, that's for sure.
But anyway, Paul Feinbaum was firmly on the side of 24-team playoff is bad for college football, and I am personally with him on that.
Same.
Yeah.
I agree. I think you kind of dilute the regular season when you have 24 teams. I think maybe 16 is right. I kind of like where they are right now at 12. Mm-hmm. If you go further out, then you're going to take away some of the bowl games because two rounds on college campuses if you go to 24. I don't see them bringing in bowl games for some of those round, more bowl games for some of the rounds of the college football playoff. And so I don't like 24. Could they go to that? They could. The SEC is not going to make a decision on that. I think they're happy with where they are at 12. That's an issue for a bigger day. But they did have Rich Clark, the president of the college football playoff, who was here speaking to the coaches yesterday. And they were trying to get some answers about, okay, what does a college football playoff team look like? What are the metrics? What are you guys going off of? And Hunter Yurcheck is in that discussion too because he's the chair of the college football playoff. So he can kind of tell the coaches, hey, here's what we saw last year. Here's what we're looking at. And so the teams try to reach those metric points if they want to get into the college football playoff. The main thing is, like Kirby Smart said, if you win your games, you don't have anything to worry about.
It's exactly Bingo. What I was
just win
say.
Your games.
That's it. Yeah, I think whenever we had the four team,
win your games and you're in.
That's it.
Yeah, whenever we had the four team playoff, we were like, okay, this is a bit limiting. We could maybe use a few more teams, and then we go to 12. And it's like, okay, you can't complain anymore if you don't get in. But what do we see every single year from the 13?
You complain about it. It wouldn't matter how many teams.
Complaining.
Somebody's going to get left out like, and argue that we should have been there.
If they have 48 teams in the playoff, number 49, yeah, I can't believe we didn't make it. It's like, shut up.
Ole Miss was complaining that one year very
well,
heavily.
And believe
like
it
you
or
you lost three games.
Yeah.
And you lost to Kentucky, I think.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I don't give Eli Drinkwitz a lot of credit on a lot of things, but I will give him credit on this yesterday. He said, why are we so ready to change everything after we just get something right. changed? Why not play with it for several years
exactly.
to see and
live
to
in it, live in it
go through it?
Yes.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. Yeah.
We had the four-team playoff for like 10 years almost, mm-hmm. right?
Man, if I'm agreeing with Drinkwitz yep. on something, that's a seventh sign of the apocalypse.
I was thinking the same thing, Pigskin.
The seventh seal has been broken.
I think that, all of us, yeah.
That leads me to my question. So other than inclusion of more teams and the revenue that gets generated, why are Tony Petitti and the Big Ten such a proponent on pushing to 24?
M-O-N-E-Y.
Well, I realize
if we
that,
do that,
but
then we
that,
can
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Other than the money and other than the possibility of more teams getting in, what's the motivation?
Well, the other motivation, the Big Ten has had a
money.
Bunch of morons
TV.
Running things for years. I mean, they've had some really simpletons as commissioner. So Warren was bad. Petitti's
yeah.
worse. I mean,
Petitti's
not
much
I'm
better,
starting
honestly.
To long for the halcyon days of Jim Delaney. Who is also a dope. So there's that.
Speaking of Eli earlier, Trey, have any coaches said anything that has stood out so far, or is it so far?
No, not really. I think a lot of the talking was done before they got here. Some of the comments, Steve Sarkisian, his comment about underwater basket weaving class at Ole Miss, he kind of backtracked that yesterday. Said, well, the quote was taken out of context. He didn't mean that class, but any class. So basically, if you're a transfer, you go to the University of Texas, you transfer from another school, only 50% of your credit hours can be transferred. So whereas if you go to Ole Miss, they can transfer 100% of their credit hours. He said, so if you're taking underwater basket weaving, then you can transfer all of those credits. And at Texas, you can only transfer 50%. He said, I probably should have said, some science course that they offer at the University of Texas. He said any course you could say, right. and it's still the same thing, only 50% of your credit hours transfer to the University of Texas. And Lane Kiffin had said he has had some comments about Oxford, Mississippi, and everybody knows that, the Saturday that LSU returns to, that goes to Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin returns, is going to be a big Saturday. All of the eyes are going to be on Oxford, Mississippi that weekend. That ticket is going to be so tough to get for that game. But Kiffin said, hey, I went back to the University of Tennessee to coach a game. Well, yeah, you got stuff thrown at you as you left the field too. So it's going to be an intense Saturday, there's no doubt. And I will say this, and I said this yesterday on Drive Time Sports, in listening to Lane Kiffin, and he spoke about 5 o'clock yesterday and some of the questions that he was asked about and his responses, and then Commissioner Sankey. Commissioner Sankey said he had to go into two of the groups, so two of the three that are here, football coaches, basketball, men's coaches, basketball, women's coaches. I'm not sure what two specifically he went into. I got to say football is one of them. And he had to say, look, guys, you're in a leadership role. Act like it. Mm. And that includes what you say. So there might be something coming tomorrow where the commissioner puts out a reprimand or a fine or something with Sark, with Kiffin. Who knows? But I think there is something coming down tomorrow afternoon, because Commissioner Sankey said, I don't discuss that from a podium standpoint. And then he went into the fact that I had to go into two groups and explain to them that you're in a leadership role. Act like it.
Trey, is that based on some of these comments you just mentioned? I mean, that he's upset about that?
I think so. Yep. Yep.
You guys remember.
I really do. I really do. I think he's.
When Saban was griping about Jimbo buying classes, that was like a one-day story, because obviously Sankey took those two aside and said, shut up, okay? This isn't going to – and that's leadership.
Right.
I mean, everybody was on the same page. Contrast that with the Big Ten, with half of the coaches, like that guy at Purdue that just got fired, that Ryan Walters.
Oh, Michigan only won because they, like, were recording practice. Like,
was he there for 1 year?
Yeah, he was there like a couple until they got wise and fired him. But, like, yeah, that's why you fired, because somebody was scouting your signs. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, if Sankey had been running things, that never even would have come up. He'd have shut it down because he's a leader.
And that's one thing that – I'm sorry, Christian. That's one thing that all of the coaches do say is they are happy – that they have a leader in Greg Sankey. Now, he gets a lot of arrows thrown at him throughout the season, but they are happy to a man that he is running the league. They have the utmost respect for him. And I don't think, Pigskin, to your point, a lot of other conferences can say that about their commissioner.
No,
well,
sir.
That is the job of a commissioner. We see what Roger Goodell does. I mean, these people are just – essentially kind of puppets for the powers that be, at least the professional ones. I mean, Adam Silver, Roger Goodell. The role may be a little bit different in college, but you still have to take most of the flack that comes your way.
That's it. It's like herding cats, and he's just particularly good at it.
Yes. So the SEC spring meetings is for football and basketball, right? But almost everything that we hear out of SEC spring meetings is football-related. What's going on basketball?
Oh, why do you think that is?
Well, because football's game, of course.
Yeah, well, right. I think there is discussion about the 5 for 5, because that would apply to basketball as well. There is discussion about the age limit that could be changing with the NCAA in a meeting in July. And I really am hoping to learn some more about what's going on in the basketball room today. I'm going to talk to Porter Mosier, former Little Rock coach, Chris Beard, and then we'll get Coach Cal after they're done with their meetings today. We'll get all of the Arkansas coaches today before they leave. So if anybody's out there like, why haven't we heard from the Arkansas coaches yet? Well, they got in late yesterday, right before the meetings start. They go into their meetings, and then once they're done, they're – in their rooms, and they go to a private reception. So it's always been, we get the Arkansas coaches on day two, and then we'll talk to Hunter Yurachek, and also Chancellor Robinson is down here. So we'll talk to him tomorrow morning before the meetings wrap up.
Trey, with Ryan Silverfield, what's the general kind of, you know, being the new kid on the block, coming from a much less powerful conference in Memphis and now at Arkansas? What's the vibe? What's the mood? What's the feeling about him being there? What's he saying?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from him yet, but I think the vibe from him is, and some of this is what I learned from some others, is he's just kind of taking a seat and listening.
Yeah.
When you're the low man on the totem pole, when you're the newbie on the block, you go in and you sit there and you listen. Now, not to say that he's not going to speak up, but if you're a new guy, now, if he was taking over for a retired coach coming into the league and Arkansas had a better record than what they did, then, okay, it might hold a little more weight, as opposed to you didn't win a game in the SEC last year. You're taking over this program. We don't need to hear from you right now. We need to hear from the Georgias, from the Texas A&Ms, the Texas, the Alabamas, the Floridas, the Ole Miss, the teams that are towards the top of the league. It will be interesting to see if anything is made. And Kirby Smart brought this up yesterday when he was talking to us about, you know, he doesn't want to see football get so big that it cuts away other sports.
I can play that soundbite if you want.
The Olympic sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there is a limit in ref sharing. I mean, technically, but there's not, right? So what's going to change that if we put a limit on it? I don't think it goes back to everybody's going to talk about pro sports and baseball and these teams that spend. I mean, we are like them, but we're not like them. So you can't make comparison because of the CBA and the regulatory agencies they have that govern theirs. They operate under different premise, but we're becoming them. Our spending is rapidly becoming them. Again, my biggest concern for our sport is we're going to ruin all the other sports. And people say, well, that's just the way it is. I don't agree with that, because we fund Olympic sports at our program. We develop Olympians. We go to class with people that go throw a javelin. We go sit in class next to a person that swims and dives. You learn culture by being with those people. But that's the assumption that we're talking about student athletes, which most of y'all would argue in this room that there is no student in the athlete. I still think that the best thing for a young student is to go get a degree and train to be a professional, while also training to be a professional athlete. Both of those. We're going to lose that if we keep spending, because not everybody can spend at the rate we're spending at.
You know what someone Bingo. Should have said is, Kirby, why don't you guys offer some classes on NASCAR driving
driver's
for
ed.
Your football players?
Driver's Ed.
Driver's Ed. Okay, how about that? That could be a sport, professional driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a major at the University of Georgia.
No doubt.
Thanks for coming on, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, that's his point. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's his point there. You know, the fact that if they keep going to where they are, I mean, college football rosters, $40 million. $40 million rosters. Next year, it's probably going to be $60 million. Good. Just think about that. Where are you going to get that money from?
Wow.
Yeah.
I hear good things about crypto.
It's big business, boys.
We can go into that.
Well, thanks for coming on, Trey. We'll hear you from SEC spring meetings throughout the day. That's thanks to Bet Saracen and Blackman Auctions. Good stuff today.
Good work,
you
Trey.
You got it, guys.
Good job,
thanks,
brother.
Trey.
All right. Talk to y'all later.